Hello, and welcome to the Burley Times. I want to thank Paula Gordon and Ian Cobb for taking the time to have conversations with the candidates and to be able to share those conversations with you. Anecdotally, I've talked to some of the candidates, and they're having some degree of difficulty engaging folks in this campaign. There seems to be some apathy and simple disinterest. I encourage you to please engage the candidates. Find out who they are, what they stand for, because this is an extremely important election for Kimberley, for the region, and for the province. Not that all elections aren't important, but this one in particular, because we no longer have an incumbent that is running for re-election. So the MLA that we get is going to be extremely important for us to be able to achieve our objectives over the next 4 years. So engage the candidates, find out what they stand for, please listen to these conversations, and most importantly, on May the 9th, get out and vote.
Welcome, Doug Klochuk.
Thank you very much. It's a pleasure to be here.
Thank you indeed. Before we start on the nitty-gritty, I am always just intrigued and engaged in finding out why somebody would put in the time, the energy, the passion. What in, your basic 45 seconds or fewer, What drives one to be this involved in the political process that you would run to be an MLA in the back end, way out in the province of British Columbia?
Well, it's a really good question. And if I look at my career that I've had throughout my life, it's always been about and around working with people and helping people. I started off as an educator, and I was a social studies teacher. I was a phys ed teacher. I was a head coach of the football team. So I've always been working around people, and then I got into tourism. I spent a better part of my adult life in working for Princess Tours, which is a subsidiary of Princess Cruises, again, in a different way, helping people and doing things. And I've always been politically active, and when I moved to British Columbia over 10 years ago now, I wanted to be politically active, and so I ended up finding the party, which is the BC Liberals, which more reflected my values, and ended up being going to a meeting and put up my hand and ended up being the Riding Association president and started to realize, with all my life skills that I've had, I think I'd like to run for MLA. And so I went and talked to a few MLAs, and here I am running. So to answer your question, working with people and helping people find solutions has always been part of who I am. And it's another progression in that life journey.
Putting into the political context. We are sitting in the city of Kimberley, yes. British Columbia. Help us understand what you see as some of the key issues in specifically Kimberley, and think of Kimberley also as an example of the other cities in this
sure.
riding.
I had the unique opportunity through my career right now as a college manager to spend a year here in Kimberley. So I got to know people here in Kimberley and made some good friends over that year. So in that time that I spent here, I certainly have come to understand some of the issues. And one of the issues, and I've had the opportunity to work with your mayor here, who I believe is just an outstanding mayor. But pardon
me. I'm sure all the mayors throughout the riding are
outstanding. They all are. I think one of the issues that comes to the forefront right now is that because this is a small mountain community, the resort municipality money is big. And I think last year, Kimberley got around $73,000 out of that RIMI fund, which sounds like a lot of money, and it is a lot of money. But when you think that the RMI money, the pot, was around $10.5 million for the entire province, that $73,000 isn't a lot of money. So one of the things that I know that as the MLA, I'm going to be working with all the mayors in our region on that file. And our intent is there to see if we can find a more equitable way to distribute some of that money to the smaller RMI communities like the city of Kimberley. I think Whistler gets around $5 million a year. We've got to find a way to maybe redistribute that a little bit so it's promoting the rural strategy a little bit more than that. So RMI is one of the issues, I think.
Would you please translate RMI for me?
Resort Municipality Initiative.
Thank you.
Yeah. I'm really excited by this one, and I've got to congratulate both Mayor Pratt and Mayor McCormick for the Cranbrook-Kimberley Development Initiative. I think that just demonstrates what communities can do when they come together and start to plan.
Even if they're not in the same riding.
Exactly, exactly. And so I think they're looking at BMO has now got the contract to do a development strategy. So that's well underway to look at how do we attract more industries, more businesses into our communities here. So I think where the opportunity is for me as the next MLA is to work with their MLA cross riding on that initiative. So that collaboration has already started there. And I believe that between myself and Mr. Shapitka over there in Kootenay East, the four of us and the communities can work together to do that. So that's really exciting. I think that's on the radar screen without question. Another issue I think for Kimberley that I've heard I don't know how many times is about the watershed. Water is life. Without good water, we're in trouble. So your watershed, you don't really have, in quotes, control over that watershed because it's on Crown land. And I'm a big access to Crown land. I believe people should have access in a responsible way. But we've got to make sure that Kimberley, with the logging that's going on in that watershed, with the recreation that's going on in the watershed, we have to make sure that the regulations are there to protect Kimberley's water source. So that's a real big one for me. And certainly when elected, I'm going to be working with mayor and council and community on that initiative. I think the last one that really comes to mind is the contamination here. Kimberley sits on a mine. And, you know, there's so much, there's not a lot of land, but the land that is here is, in quotes, contaminated.
Called brownfields, where I come from.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. It's called brownfields here, too. So I think what we've got to do is we've got to have a good hard look, because without the ability to expand and develop, Kimberley is not going to expand and develop. So we've got to look at the regulations, we've got to look at the processes, and the time that these analyses are being done in a timely fashion, so that Kimberley can move forward and it's not tied up in red tape. And, you know, frankly, our government has worked really hard to reduce red tape for people. So that's another file that I think I'm going to be working on, and I know I'm going to be working on with the city of Kimberley. Yeah,
you're a strange candidate.
Okay,
and I'm kidding. No. But what separates you from most candidates is, as Christy Clark called you, the hardest working unelected MLA in British Columbia. After the last election, you could have walked away, gone back to work, and said nuts to it, but you didn't. What motivated you to keep going?
Well, I always get a big smile on my face when Christy says that, and because I have nothing but respect for her, and I think she's an amazing leader. When I lost the last election, it was obviously devastating, because you don't do this if you don't think you're going to win. And so I said to my family the next day, and we're sitting around having breakfast, and I said, you know what? I decided last night that I was going to do this. I'm going to do this again, but I want your permission, because I need my family's support. And my daughter looked at me and she said, duh, we already know that. So the reason that I decided to do that was there was so much passion in the people that I met in the riding throughout that electoral process. And you know what? My granddad used to tell me, if it's not bragging, if it's the truth. And the truth of the matter is I've discovered I'm really good at this. I'm really good at this. And throughout that last 4 years, and in the reference to our premier calling me that, and I take that as a compliment, is that I've been working with people in our communities to accomplish things. I've actually been able to help people find solutions. And one of the things I'm so very proud of is right here out on the doorsteps of Kimberley is the Cherry Creek Regional Park. And when they called Bill Bennett and said, you know, well, Bill, we're in big trouble. We got this mine tenure here, and they're going to build this big mine by Cherry Creek Falls, and what are we going to do? And he says, you know what, I'm going to give you this guy's name, and if he'll help you, I'll help him. And we did. We bought three ministries together, and we got the community together. We got the mining guy that had the tenure together, and he wasn't a bad guy. Him and his wife were really nice. And end of the day, they got another tenure down around Creston. The community raised $55,000 to get the park going. Today, it's a regional park. And you know what was the greatest compliment to me? When I spoke at that opening last spring, and about how proud I was. And I said, I know that a lot of you didn't vote for me, and I'm good with that, because this was a nonpartisan thing that had to happen. People came up to me afterwards and said to me, you know what, we didn't vote for you last time, but we are this time. So it's about what you do. It's not about what you say.
I'm being very watchful of our time,
yes,
so that all
yes.
of our candidates are treated with
yes,
equanimity.
Ma'am.
And some of what you're saying, these things don't kind of fall into five-minute chunks in
no.
life. Much of what you just said, there are some common issues affecting all corners of the riding. And I'm hearing in that response that there are common issues that I'd like you to speak to specifically. What are these across the Columbia River Revelstoke riding? Are they things like getting a provincial park when there's a problem? What do we share? It's a vegetable garden. It's all kinds of vegetables from one end. It's a long riding. It's what, 6 hours from one end to the other.
Yeah, on a good day. A good day.
When they're not paying.
Trust me, we've traveled 30,000 kilometers so far this election period. So
if you're not going up to Micah.
Yeah, if you're not going up to Micah.
Yes.
Totally.
Yeah. What are these common issues? And as Ian says, these specifics do matter to the larger issues.
Yeah, and you know what? Your analogy about the vegetable garden is good, because there's all sorts of different plants growing, and there's all sorts of different concerns but there's also similarities. And I think what I'm hearing from Revelstoke all the way up is that people want to have good jobs. They want to stay in the community. We live here because we want to live here. We love to recreate here. This is where we want to be. And I think if you look at the overall economic success of the province of British Columbia, I mean, we're number one in the country, number one in this country.
As compared to what? Number one?
In Canada. In terms of our economy, we've got the strongest economic growth that was verified by the Conference Board of Canada. We've got only province in Canada to maintain our AAA budget. We've created 222,000 plus jobs since 2011. 87% of those are full-time, good-paying jobs. We've got some amazing social programs that are going on, the Single Parents Initiative, that is helping young parents, single parents who are on the welfare treadmill, get off of that welfare treadmill. So we've done a lot of great things that are going on in this province. We are the success of Canada right now. And when you look at that success translating into rural British Columbia, rural British Columbia doesn't always find as much of that success as you'd say on the Lower Mainland. So what we've done is we've come up with the Rural Economic Development Strategy, an initiative, and we've got a minister that's assigned to that now, Minister Barnett. And we're going to be focusing on economic development throughout rural British Columbia. And obviously, we are noted as being a remote rural riding. And so as the MLA, I'm going to be working very closely with the communities on the RMI, and or not the RMI, but the resort... the economic development in rural British Columbia. But for example, the rural dividend, that's $25 million. We just helped in the Invermere community, the Greenways Trail Alliance, get $500,000 from that initiative. And that's helping them. And they've started construction on that trail. So these are the kinds of things that I'm hearing from people. People want to live here. They want to recreate here. And they want to have a good job. And that's what we're going to be focusing on. And that's you asked for the common thread. That's what I'm hearing, the commonality, and a good place to live and a decent place to live. So,
and you've led me into my next area of interest is, so what is the role of the MLA specifically in addressing these things?
Well, for me, the role of the MLA, a good MLA, is to first of all listen and do less talking and do more listening. Because that's where you're going to discover what people are looking for and what they need and what they want. So number one, you start to listen. But you are the conduit for their voices to Victoria. It's not the other way around. I've never operated that way. I will always fight for these for my people in my riding. I fought for them, as you said, Ian, as the non-elected MLA, and I'm still fighting. So the role of the MLA is to bring government to the people, so that they understand it. And one of the things I've heard just recently, which is concerning, is from our seniors, is that when I met with a group of seniors the other day, and we were talking about some of the initiatives and programs that are available for them, They didn't know about that. And that's the job of the MLA, is to communicate what's available to your communities. So in when you're elected, there might be one or two people in this election that don't vote for me. You know, I know that. But once I'm elected, and those people who didn't vote for me, I'm still their MLA. And that's really critical that people understand that. Just because you don't necessarily, we all want the same things for our community. We just look at it in different ways of how we're going to get there. So I think the important thing for an MLA is to be a really good and astute listener, but you also have to be somebody that's ready to act. And sometimes you just got to roll up your sleeves and get your fingernails dirty and scream loud and clear that that's not acceptable when I'm sitting in a caucus meeting, and that does not work for my community, and you need to know that. So that's important for an MLA to do.
The Columbia River's Columbia River Revelstoke's economy doesn't have the advantage that Kootenay East does with the coal mines and the jobs and the high-paying jobs. Something that has been missing in the Columbia Valley, especially for pretty much ever, has been lots of high-paying jobs. Industry is needed, but one of the barriers has always been power, whether it's natural gas or what. And there's still really nothing on the horizon in terms of that. As MLA, would you be able to facilitate something like that moving forward?
Are we talking natural gas?
Well, whether it's a natural gas or available power for industry to set up shop, say in Invermere.
Or solar.
Because one of the big markets, Invermere, for example, has had a few sniffs over the years, but available power was the big issue.
Yeah. Well, I think when you talk about power in British Columbia, we're blessed. We have one of the best power systems anywhere in the world, and we know that to be a fact. And what's also very exciting for me, Ian, is that of the majority of that power, and thank goodness that WAC Bennett had that vision, because it requires vision to have that kind of ability today. But, you know, about 98% of our power is also green, and that's really exciting. So
green means?
Green is non-fossil fuel. It's hydro. It's hydroelectric. It's green. So we've got the power. We're building Site C Dam, which I think is so exciting. It's so exciting. There's that vision. Our population is going to increase so much over the next years. People are moving back to British Columbia en masse. In the 90s, they left en masse. So, you know, to answer your question, is that we have the available power. We just have to make sure we can shift that available power and make sure we can pay for that power. But British Columbia is in a very unique position, like Quebec and Manitoba. We had the vision years ago to have that hydropower, and it's here for our usage. And I think to your point, even more so, we've got this amazing sun mine here in Kimberley. So there's other alternatives that are happening within our riding. So it's an exciting time. The power's there. And as the MLA, I have to help municipalities figure that out. That's my job. And that's what they hold me accountable for, is to do that job. And accountability to me as the MLA is really, really important.
What are you hearing in Canal Flats?
You know, Canal Flats I think it's a diamond in the rough. I love Canal Flats, and just was there a couple Friday nights ago for Wings Night at the CI, talking to folks. But I'm hearing positive things out of Canal Flats. The mill obviously closed, but they haven't laid down and quit. I think there's some tourism opportunities there. They know there's tourism opportunities there. I hear optimism, and really that's what you need out of your community is to be optimistic. But again, that requires your MLA to sit down and work with that community to make sure that the resources are available. Programming, training. The college has done a lot of training on to help folks down there. So that's accessible through your MLA to make sure, again, that what's available for you is communicated.
So the MLA wins. Any MLA wins.
Whoever that is.
And the party loses. Mm-hmm. Now, I'm still getting used to the parliamentary system.
Yeah.
How then does the elected MLA, how does that affect the representation, which is a big important word to me, for the local people?
So you're now assuming the role of an opposition member.
I'm not.
I'm not saying that you are. You're having me assume that position, which I don't believe will ever happen in this province. But what I will tell you is that I was able to accomplish as a non-elected person, Doug Klofchak from Fairmont Hot Springs. I was able to accomplish working with government people a myriad of great things that have happened here. I'm going to give you a really good example of somebody who worked really hard as an opposition member, and that was a fellow by the name of Corky Evans. Corky was a NDP MLA over in the West Kootenays, and that man accomplished so much for his riding, even though he was in opposition, because he was always in the faces of ministers. And when you're a minister, you're not a minister of the BC Liberal Party, you're a minister of the Crown. So you're a minister of everybody. And I know that in talking with Bill Bennett in Kootenay East, he used to tell me stories. Corky would come in and he'd be wild, his arms would be flailing.
Imagine Corky and Bill together.
Yeah, Corky and Bill together. That's a good visual. But Bill just said, you know what, Corky was so passionate about that. And Bill's also told me, and other ministers have told me, there's lots of opposition MLAs who will come into their offices and say, hey, listen, I'm in a mining community, I'm in opposition, but I need your help. And they get that help. So to answer your question specifically, for me, being an MLA, whether you're in opposition or government, it's about building relationships. It's really important to have those relationships with people, even though you have maybe disparate ideological ideas or beliefs. So for me, it's about building those relationships of respect, mutual respect and trust, and then coming back and working, doing whatever it takes for your people to get it across the goal line. And I've proven that I can do that. So I tell people, I don't deserve your vote, but I've sure been trying hard to earn it.
We started this conversation with you saying that you wanted to speak to values. Mm. For a bumper sticker here, what are those values that seem to be central to what you're talking about?
It's a very, very fair question. And for me, my strongest values are family. My family and families in this riding. For me, it's about taking care of your family. It's about taking care of your kids. It's about loving your family. It's about loving your kids. About giving your family every opportunity that they can have to enjoy the life that we have here in Kimberley or in Dutch Creek where I live or wherever that is. So those values are very strong. I'm a hunter, so I have incredibly strong values around conservation. I know that wildlife management is a big issue right now. As recently as last night, I was at a wildlife management forum in Invermere. As a person who recorates in the backcountry and does the things that we do in the backcountry, those are my values too, is to protect the land. The land is really important to me, culturally as well. Water is a big issue. But we also have to find a balance there. So that's always the key to that. So to be able to find a balance, I think is also in a value set, is that to be able to work with people of disparate ideas without calling them names and work with them and achieve those goals. So my values come from my mom and dad, hard work, honesty. It's funny in this job is that people say, well, what are you going to promise me? When you get elected, what are you going to promise me? Well, and I have an answer for that. And I have two promises. Number one, I'll work my tail off for you. And number two, I won't lie to you. That's all I got. That's all I got. The rest we'll figure it out together. But those two things I can guarantee you, because my granddad told me, and he taught me this, and my dad did too. When a man gives someone your word, then you better keep it, because that's really in this world all you ever truly own. So make sure that ownership is dealt with pride.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. It's been a pleasure.